28 and a half past 7 o'clock here on AM 1240 KASO, Minden, Louisiana. We have some special guests in the studio with us this morning. They're from an organization known as CASA, C-A-S-A. Our guests this morning, Deanna Curtis and Sandra Samuel. Ladies, thanks for getting up early to be with us this morning. Thank you so much.
Good morning.
We're going to just dive right into this. First of all, one of you tell us, what is CASA? What does it stand for, and what's your purpose?
All right. Well, CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate, and we are actually appointed by the Supreme Court. Whenever a child comes into foster care, when there's neglect or abuse, and the state of Louisiana, the Department of Children and Family Services has to remove that child because of an unsafe environment, the court system will actually appoint us within 72 hours. And what we do from then on is we are a second set of eyes and ears for the judge to make sure that that child or children have the best experience while they are in foster care. And we do that by advocating in their best interest, maybe to see maybe they're not having visits with their siblings, if they're not placed in the same home, maybe they need counseling, maybe they need tutoring, things like that. The CASA on the case becomes their person, their friend that stays with them throughout the life of that case. And the goal is to get them placed in a permanent, safe home as quick as possible with a great experience, or the best experience.
You kind of pick up where you have the Department of Child and Family Services that would actually go investigate the case, and then they would determine, I guess, if a child would go to foster care.
Yes.
And then you kind of pick up the ball from there to make sure that things are moving smoothly.
And we work alongside the Department of Children and Family Services. It's not us and them.
Right.
You know, once a child is removed from a home, they are responsible for that child. They now have custody of that child with all legal matters. And what we do is, you know, they are extremely overloaded. And we're extra, you know, and which we don't always agree with everything that maybe they, because they are limited according to the law and things that they can do, whereas a CASA, who is just a regular everyday person like you and I, that comes in and can say, you know, what would I want for my child? You know, what would I want for my niece or my nephew, or just, you know, just a child in my life, you know, and they go in and then they work things out. They work with DCFS, they work with the attorneys, they work with the family, the caregivers, and, you know, they go to the school system, and they just work things out. And we are not there to, we work as a team. And if we don't agree with what the state is having to do, you know, we can go in with our report and say, Judge, you know, this is what we see, and this is what we suggest. And then the judge can say, okay, I agree with you. And then he is the one that has to order it. And then the state of Louisiana would have to implement whatever services that is.
Deanna, I would assume that you also probably have to work with attorneys and district attorneys and law enforcement and all that as well. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I work out of the Bienville office. Wow. I do the second JDC, which is Bienville, Claiborne, and Jackson, and we do.
On average, how many cases does your group handle on a day-to-day basis?
Right now, I think that we have about 26 cases, and that is almost 50 kids that we deal with every day.
Ours is the same. I'm in Webster Parish, all of Webster Parish, and currently we have 27 cases, and which means we have 51 children. So the cases, 27 children that we are appointed to is 51, and currently that means I have 17 cases without an advocate. That is 36 children that do not have that extra voice speaking for them. I am the supervisor for the parish, but we don't have enough advocates for the parish.
How many do you have now for Webster Parish? How many are in your organization?
Right now we have, in Webster Parish, we have 10 volunteers, 10 advocates.
How about Bienville?
We have 14, okay. And I think we have like only 3 cases that does not have advocates.
How does someone become an advocate if they want to be involved with CASA? How does that work?
Well, they can reach out to me, and then from there. We also, we have an online, it's www.vyjla.org, because we are under the umbrella of Volunteers for Youth Justice, and they can go on there, and there's a form there that you fill out. Then there's an interview, and that's talking with me and getting to know you, and then there's training, and we do have training coming up in September and in October.
So this is you're a volunteer when you do this sort of thing.
Yes,
sir. Right.
You are, but we like to call it a professional volunteer because of the training that you get and you're working in the court system. But yes, sir, you are a volunteer.
How are you funded, or are you funded? How does this work? How do you, what funding you do need?
Yeah, Supreme Court funds a lot of our things, but for our extras like Christmas, and to do school uniforms and to help the families. Right now we've got a superhero run coming up and September the 23rd at AC Steer Park in Shreveport. And it's mostly fundraising.
Yeah, we fundraise.
Yes.
We fundraise for, like she said, the extras, but then we also do our Christmas time. She does Christmas in her area. We do Christmas in our area. And that's a time when we raise funds, as well as people can do donations of getting the actual wish list filled, however you want to do it. And then we also do birthdays.
Right.
We have a CASA birthday program as well. And every month I go through and see how many children have a birthday for the month. And then we put out that wish list, and we try to fill that every month.
Yep. Christmas is real big for us.
It is.
We want these children to feel like our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear people all the time say, well, they're foster kids. Well, you know what? They're kids that want Christmas also. They're already taken out of their homes, and they're placed with great foster parents. We have have been really blessed. We have great foster parents.
Sometimes it's family members.
Right,
too.
Sometimes it's family members. But we try to do big for these kids at Christmas. You know, we don't go out and buy huge TVs and games, mm-hmm. PlayStations and all that stuff, but we give them 3 wants and 2 dream wishes. Mm-hmm. And then we have wish lists. Sandra has wish lists that people can call her office and ask about sponsoring a child. And you know, you're not obligated to buy everything on that wish list. You buy what you want to. Well, then we get donations from businesses, individuals, and we try to buy everything else on that wish list. We try to make sure every child has a new set of clothes, underwear, socks, shoes, everything like that. You know, we have kids that are in foster care that ask for underwear,
mm-hmm.
and it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we try to do. We want them to have the best Christmas
just
ever.
Like you would do for your family member.
Yes.
You know.
Well, I know foster parents do get some funds, but it's very limited and it doesn't go far, I would imagine.
No,
so.
No.
You know, and that's the deal. You know, that's living expenses.
Right.
You know, this is the extras. You know,
right.
You know, they come into care and it's like, you know, your child running around, they expect Santa Claus every year. You know, that's what we've raised them to think. And, you know, a child in foster care, the family member that may have taken them in, or even a foster parent, you know, that is over and extra, you know, and so that's where we come in to try to make it the best experience that they can have. So
in addition to the caseload that you have, you're constantly looking for resources to provide these things and funds for your program. So this must be 24/7 almost,
yes,
I guess.
And that's what my job, that's what I do. I'm the community coordinator, and I do all the speaking engagements, fundraising. I get out there and let people know what CASA, I've been doing CASA for 17 years in Bienville, Claiborne, Jackson Parish. A lot of people still don't even know what CASA, what we stand for, what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I guess if you're not involved with a situation like that, you might not fall into that category of being aware. But if you could, you don't have to give any names. Just kind of give us a typical type of case where you would be coming to court, and what kind of a step-by-step process, what would happen?
Okay.
How would that happen?
So when a child is removed from their home, you know, an investigation has ensued and they've deemed necessary for them to be safe is to remove them. There is what we call a 72-hour hearing, and that's the law. Every child is granted that. And we go before the judge that day, and that means all the attorneys for the parents, attorneys for the child. It could be the caseworker, myself, and the court then appoints our program. And that means now this program has the the legal right to see all that's going on, and then I would assign a volunteer. Now, if I don't have a volunteer, or if I do, I still continue to follow that case. That means they do family team meetings where they come together and they work out the plan that the parents are going to need to work in order to get their child back. Currently, most of our cases, I would say 98%, are coming in because of drug-affected newborns. That recent death in Baton Rouge where a child was exposed to fentanyl more than once and died has caused the state to be extra cautious. And a child is affected by drugs and they would put in family services and monitor the case. But now they're quickly going ahead and putting them into foster care. Once that happens, the families are given this case plan, and CASA is there to walk alongside and encourage. You know, if this is what you can do to make this happen for this child, you might have a case where that's not going well, you know, so then you begin to look at it and say, okay, you know, now that the parents, it's obvious they're not going to do what they need to do, what does CASA need to do to ensure that they stay where they are because this looks to be the best place for them? Or if the parents are doing what they need to do, now what does CASA need to look at to see how we can get them moved home, go ahead and get this over with for this child?
You know, every child has a court-appointed attorney. Mom has a court-appointed, dad has a court-appointed, but a lot of times the attorney for the children, they advocate for what the children want.
That is what they do.
Yeah. Yes. And but with CASA, we advocate for the best interest. You know, a lot of times it's not in the best interest for these children to go back home. Of course, we don't want their children. DCFS does not want to keep their children. They want these families to work a case plan and get their lives back straight and get their children back. You know, and no matter the abuse, whether it's physical, sexual, mental, whatever the abuse, these kids love their parents no matter what.
I was going to think, when you remove a child from a home, even though it may be a bad situation, that's still home to that child, and it's got to be traumatic.
Yes. Exactly.
Do you work with counselors, mental health, medical people, that sort of thing as well? I mean, how does that work?
But we do. You know, we are given that right once we are given that case, and the advocates are, you know, work with counselors by reaching out to them to, making sure, first of all, that the child does get a counselor if necessary. And normally, if you're in foster care, that's school. Necessary. You know, working with them to see what the game plan is. How is that going? Is everyone engaged? You know, do we need to get more counseling? Or then at schools, you know, it's reaching out to the teachers, school counselors. You know, if you find out that maybe there's some things going on in the school system that the child is struggling with, you know, you're on the phone, you're going up to the school, you're doing those things, whatever it takes to make sure that their needs are met, then it could be you know, we talk to the child's attorney. You know, we do that frequently, and she'll let you know that she is thankful for CASA because we keep her aware, because a lot of times the family members or whoever has the child will reach out to CASA and alert us to things that might be happening. And so instantly we let the child's attorney know. We're keeping everybody in the loop together so that we all know what's going on, you know. So
if someone is interested in becoming part of your organization, or they may need your services, let's give those numbers and how they can reach you guys again.
Sure. Okay. So my number is 318-707-4726, and I can connect you immediately to whatever area, you know, you need to be guided to. And then if you wanted to just go online, we go to the Volunteers for Youth Justice website, and that online, that's vyjla.org, and that's the Volunteers for Youth Justice website, and you would go and you would click on the CASA, C-A-S-A, link.
All right, and let's talk again about the fundraiser you got coming up, the run.
Yes, CASA Superhero Run. This is our sixth year doing it, and we are very excited. We have a costume contest, and then we have, I don't know if you ever heard of Angelie's Angels. These are handicapped children that they bring those children, and they have runners, and these kids are in wheelchairs, and they run with these kids the whole time also. But it is September 23rd at 8 a.m. at A.C. Steer Park over in Shreveport. It is a 5K, 10K fun run costume contest. We have prizes. And this is one of our big fundraisers, and it's fun. We have a good day, and it starts early, but most of your runners, by the time they're done, we're done, cleaned up and everything, now they're by 11, 11:30.
Great, good deal. Anything we haven't covered yet that we want to make sure we
Webster Parish is in need of advocates.
Okay.
Really. Sandra has so many cases, she told you, that needs advocates. And if these kids doesn't have an advocate, to me, that is something that is desperately needed, because they need that voice in court also.
And you need to be 21 years of age to be able to be a volunteer. But male, female, you know, retired, not retired, you know, we have all walks of life. We have currently, our second man is about to start. He just went through the training, and he's a local pastor. We've got a retired male. We've got retired teachers. We got retired bankers. We have teachers that are currently teaching. We have a school administrator that is fixing to start take a case. So, you know, all kinds of housewives.
Give them that number one more time if they want to call you
up today.
They
can call me at 318-707-4726.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. Our guests this morning, Deanna Curtis and Sandra Samuel from CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates representing children who are in foster care in our area. Thank you so much for what you do, and you're welcome back anytime. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.